Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Good morning, Vachon. This is Kevin Jones, one of the Brieflies. Today, that, of course, was the voice of Brian Brown, the creator of the Brown Briefly. We still call ourselves the Brown Briefly in Brian's honor. Although he did depart this veil of tears over 2 years ago, we try to preserve Brian's roundtable format by adhering to his concept that less is more, more or less. Let's see. So today, in a bit of a role reversal, Craig Bellis is guiding us from the Voice of Vachon Gene Bosch broadcast studio in bustling and bodacious downtown Vachon, while his pal Truman O'Brien is joining us via Zoom. Of course, Craig and Truman are partners in their airplane, but Truman is not Craig's partner in another sense. But gentlemen, glad you could be here. Craig, how is taking the turn there to engineering and getting the Brown Briefly off the ground today?
I haven't turned on my app to see whether or not we're coming across the airways, but according to all the lights I have in front of me and this board, I think I've got it figured out. It seemed to work. I just rolled off of Truman's morning scramble with his daughter, and that worked out pretty well, I think. Were you satisfied with that, Truman?
I was thrilled. Wonderful job. Oh, that's good. Wonderful job, Craig. Love the music.
Good.
Couldn't be better.
Good. I'll turn it over to you, Truman. What's up with you?
Well, it seems that Thursday I'm going to be in visiting the hospital and having a little whittling done on my back. Hopefully they'll get things fixed so that I'm back to normal. But it's been a kind of a painful process getting ready for this thing. And so I'm really looking forward to getting it fixed. So there we go.
Absolutely. I have much sympathy for those who experience that kind of back pain. I had my turn in the barrel, and fortunately, I was able to recover without any going under the knife. So,
Well, I tried everything and nothing worked. So that's the last resort, you know.
I have a big rubber hammer if this next thing doesn't work.
You offered that before, Craig.
I know, and you never taken me
but
up
on it. You're going to whack me in the head with it.
That's right.
You're going to be a little lower
it
down.
It won't have anything to do with your spine, only that it's sort of connected.
Yeah.
Okay, and I was going to say that Susie always said the rolling pin was the way to address the back injuries. And so I think what we're doing is we're convincing our listener that the Brown Briefly is not the place to seek medical advice.
That's correct.
That's for sure.
But that doesn't disqualify us, you know, for speaking wisely about the other events of the day. Meanwhile, a Guardian of the Galaxy, Bruce Hallman, has been called away on another assignment, perhaps something to do with the recent activity at Mar-a-Lago. We hope to hear from Bruce next week. But Bruce will not be joining us. I am Kevin Jones, zooming in from my Vachon home nestled in the woods south of Misty Isle Farm. And let's see, we have a Zoom user showing up on our screens, which could be Cheryl Lobert of the Vachon Chamber of Commerce and Nashi Orchards. But Zoom user, if you could unmute and let us know if you are indeed Cheryl and if you're joining us today.
I am. How are you guys doing?
Hey, wonderful. Glad you are here.
Yes, and I'm sorry that you're not going to see me, but unfortunately, internet has been my challenge today, and I actually had to relocate to actually do my work today. One of the downsides to remote working, you have to have internet.
Well, luckily, it is radio, so nobody would see you except for the three of us.
That's right. Yeah, it's saving grace.
That's right.
Yes.
Saving grace is...
It definitely caused a crisis in my morning when I couldn't get on my first call at 7 o'clock this morning, and I had to drive north to be able to get internet. But
We're surviving. That's for sure.
Oh man, no kidding. The pulse rate, respiration rate goes up. You know, I can totally get that when you're due to dial into a meeting and all of a sudden, no connectivity.
No connectivity. Yep. So welcome to Tuesday morning. How's that?
Absolutely. Well, this is the segue into our just checking in with folks and what's going on Vashon. So Cheryl, you've already told us about your morning, but what else is going on that you might want to share with our listeners?
Well, I think that, you know, the summer seems like it has just been a quintessential Vashon, just beautiful. We had some hot days there, but today certainly is not that. Pretty overcast today. In fact, I heard a rumor that there might be some rain in the forecast, which during the summer is pretty unusual, but I will tell you, our fruit trees will be happy to have it. Although not a lot of fruit mm-hmm. this year. Definitely all that rain early in the spring and the coolness definitely impacted the trees, the fruit trees on the island. In fact, talking to some people, not a lot of fruit around. So that is something that is going on, at least on our minds, since we're thinking about what's going on. In my life and personally, though, we have a lot of fruit coming out of our Hood River orchards. And in fact, that was not impacted at all by the weather. So funny how 3 hours south of here, you get completely different climate, different weather, different results. But really, summer's just beautiful here, isn't it? We're so lucky to live in such a wonderful place. You know, just being outside, enjoying the nature and the atmosphere, and town's been busy on the weekend, so I know that's great for businesses. So I think all around, really nice. Nice summer.
Absolutely. You know, I was standing in my living room with my binoculars looking out toward the orchard to see if there were any apples on our apple trees. And I need to actually, you know, get off the couch and walk out there and take a look around. But I think it's going to be thin pickings, if you will, here on Vashon.
You know,
it's going to be a light year.
I don't know. We have a dog. We have two dogs. And one is an apple fanatic. And he is already bringing apples up onto the lawn and eating them, and of course destroying his digestive system to our dismay. But I needn't speak of that further. And I went down there to pick up the apples before he did and give them to the horses. But the our trees are loaded with apples.
Where on the island?
We're on the west side, Robinwood Road.
Yeah, well, I'll have to come over and visit.
Yeah, you harvest some fruit for the winery. That would be a good opportunity.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, we do that every year anyway. We've for about 9 years now, have done a Vashon Cider Collaborative, and people can donate fruit that's insect-free, and we usually make a cider out of it. Give some of the proceeds to one of the local nonprofits. And Jim, my husband, who's a cider maker, has been doing that for many, many years. It's always great to see. In fact, in 2019, I think it won like best in class in the world. Wow. And I thought it was so cool because it was all Vashon fruit that had been foraged or donated from all our old trees. And it's different every year because, you know, the harvest it depends, right, on the weather and how things are going. So it's kind of fun. So if people do have extra fruit that's bug-free, insect-free, it's really mm-hmm. cute. Not on the ground. That's always great to take that and do something with it because, you know, we don't like to waste anything on Vashon. I think that's always been our mindset, right? Not to mention, I will say that when you leave fruit on trees or on the ground, it does help harbor overwintering pests. And we don't like coddling moth or things like that. So always best to get that stuff off the ground. And if you can't give it to us, you can certainly give it to, I know, the old goat farm. They really like that kind of thing. So just saying, that's always fun.
All right. Professional tips. Excellent. Hey, Truman, we should check in with you. You've already mentioned your pending doctor's visit. Now we understand your backdrop on Zoom. For those who cannot see us on the radio, it's like a surgery. It's like three masked up surgeons behind you.
Yeah, surgical suite. Yes, it is.
Yes. Yep. Otherwise, how's it going?
Well, pretty well. I'm having to quarantine before. Oh, there she is. I'm having to quarantine before the surgery, so I haven't been able to get out and do much. Had to run in and get a blood test, you know, and all that stuff prior to the thing. But I'll tell you, the bad thing is that if my surgery is early in the morning, I am very, very worried about the ferry situation. Since the other day, someone was going in on the 7 o'clock boat and they were delayed like 3 hours. Oof. So to avoid that, I've gotten a reservation at a hotel in town. So I'll stay overnight on Wednesday night just to make sure I can make it. But boy, let me tell you, hotels have gotten really expensive. Wow.
Yes,
I was really shocked.
And you're not exactly staying at the Olympic either.
No, I mean, it's, you know, it's the Silver Cloud up on Bill Hill. I mean, it's not that big a deal, but wow. Mm-hmm. It's like staying down at the Four Seasons or something, you know? Amazing.
I can loan you some money at a reasonable interest rate.
Maybe we can do a GoFundMe for my hotel room.
Well, you know, I think we're still in the post-pandemic demand for you know, recreational and travel resources. So I understand just in the recent jobs report that the travel industry and the services industry was the largest gaining number of jobs in the country. So my sense is that you're looking at some pretty pent up demand there for hotel space.
Oh yeah, and you know, as a former airline pilot, I can tell you that the pilot shortage is a real thing, mm-hmm. and we all of the old guys like me are all retiring and leaving a big gap, you know, in the employment.
It's not too late for me to get in, huh, Truman?
I think it's still past too. I volunteered to go back, but they said, no way, you're too old. You know, can't do it.
So the pilot shortage is cured by growing taller pilots? Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay,
that's very good. Hey, I did want to say one thing about our microclimate. So you know that the rainfall amount on the north end of the island is considerably different than the southeast side of the island. It's mm-hmm. like completely two different little climate areas. It's amazing that we have that much difference. And so I'm not surprised, Craig, that you have lots of apples and other places don't. You know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, all those madrones growing out on Maury is definitely a sign of a drier climate, or maybe it's certainly an aquifer that is recharging much more rapidly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheryl, you were going to say?
No, I'm good to go.
Okay. Well, you know, Cheryl, you're joining us today to talk about the Strawberry Festival. And in particular, you know, the plans for future years and the last couple of years. We're quite interested in your assessment of how things have gone, because it's been a Strawberry Festival on Vashon for Vashon. But please, if you would tell us a bit about yourself, what you do at the Vashon Chamber, and then let's jump into the Strawberry Festival.
That's great. So let's just start off first. I'm a volunteer. So I volunteer for the board of directors, along with 8 other people who really have shouldered the festival. And in my role over the last many years, I've been involved really so that we can help support businesses, but also at the same time help build community. And that's really the mission of the Chamber of Commerce, is that we want to help our businesses thrive, but at the same time, we want to make sure that the events we're doing are not only helping businesses, but also, you know, building community and letting us connect as a community. And we think that's very important. So Strawberry Festival, of course, with the pandemic, we made the decision the first year of the pandemic to forgo the Strawberry Festival. And we came up with some other things to kind of build community, like we did the 4th of July, you know, driving parade all over the island. And I think people really enjoyed that. But, you know, we all missed sort of that gathering point of the Strawberry Festival. And then, you know, in 2021, the rules changed so much, and we really had difficulty trying to figure out what we should do, could do, when we could do it, how we could plan. And it was quite a challenge to put together a festival. And so we'd opted for, with a lot of help from a lot of of people who were gracious enough to let us use their space or give us their time or their money to be able to pull off a very small festival. And we really scaled it back because of COVID restrictions. We also scaled it back because we didn't have the volunteer support, plus we didn't have the planning time. And out of the 2021 festival came some really key learnings that actually people liked being able to wander down the street and frequent businesses that were already there. They really liked having the music and the stage, and they really liked having all ages dancing versus in the past years, we had it just in the Beverage Garden where, you know, it was just really restricted to anybody who was over the 21. People liked the street dance, but, you know, there were some challenges with that. Everybody loved the parades. So a lot of these things we learned in 2021, what people really missed, but also the changes that people really wanted. And the for Vashon by Vashon concept came out of that. And we decided to kind of make some modifications for 22, not still 100% sure what was going to happen with COVID.
Yes.
And I think we were pretty successful. In fact, the initial feedback has been extraordinarily positive on the 2022 festival. And I have to say, as somebody who's been intimately involved in organizing parts of it, we were all pretty thrilled too. Not only did we have, you know, the music stage where we had really great on-island and off-island acts play, but we had the all agents dancing. And I think my favorite part of festival was watching the kids and everybody dance to the music on the lawn and also in the Beverage Garden. So everybody was kind of together, but, you know, separated appropriately. So we were legal. We don't want to get in any trouble.
Yes.
And that, really, really nice. But we also used that stage area to do some fun things for kids, like the Reptile Man. I have never seen an area so packed as when the Reptile Man was there. And that was really fun, too, that we had some fun things for kids. We had a bouncy house and, you know, and then we also had local vendors. I think one of the learnings from this year is we probably could have some more vendors. And I think another key learning is that Vashon businesses can actually pick up and do some of the things that people used to rely on off-island vendors to do. You know, people said, oh, I want my curly fries. Well, you know, maybe a local vendor could do that. A local restaurant could do that. You know, people really enjoyed it. So I think that there were some real highlights and good learnings from it. People had a good time. I think businesses made money, were, you know, busy, which is the whole idea. So in my mind, from a chamber perspective, I think we met both of our objectives, which was, you know, helping businesses thrive, but at the same time, building community. So a nice kind of intersection between those two.
Nice. Well, you have an opportunity for some festival feedback right here from Craig and Truman. So, Craig, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, let me just engage in my disclaimer. I love the festival. I had an absolutely wonderful time. I probably went to, you know, six of the concerts or, you know, the various, you know, and danced my, well, not exactly off, but
reduced, right?
It didn't work. I tried, but it didn't work. But you know, this being Vashon, it's the old deal. You know, you get five people together and you get 15 opinions. There was no shortage of people, you know, expressing their opinions on Facebook. One of the things, of course, was, where are the elephant ears? And you've already addressed that to a certain degree when you talked about the curly fries. Maybe that's the kind of thing somebody would actually, with a big deep fryer, could do. But another criticism, I don't know how many people shared it, not many, but I thought it was kind of fascinating. I heard a couple people say that it turned more into a music festival than the festival they were used to. You know, it's the old deal. I'm used to this. I've been going to this for 30 years, and I like that, and this isn't that anymore. Obviously, things had to change with the pandemic. Do you have a response? And maybe we'll be getting into this when Kevin asks you what plans you have for the future, for the next festival. What's your thoughts about that criticism that it's that it's more a music festival now than it used to be.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because if you look back to 2018, I think we had 7 stages. So if you had said that in 2018, that it was more like a music festival, I probably would have agreed with you.
Yeah. But for me, the music, I think, is one of the most important and most exciting parts of the whole thing. I mean, other than the parade, which had those great MCs.
Who were those amazing MCs? Yeah,
full disclosure, that was Craig and me. But we had a lot of fun doing that. And I thought the parade was terrific this year. I really did. The costumes and the floats and everything were just, some of them were hilarious and really well thought out and imaginative. You know, I was really impressed. And unfortunately, with my current back situation, I didn't get to participate in much of the other stuff. But everything I've heard has just been great. So go ahead, Kevin.
So Cheryl, you're now kind of obliged to make sure that Craig and Truman return to do more commentating during the parade. But other than that, like Craig said, are you still gathering feedback, or is there a couple of things that are becoming clear about what's in the planning for next year's Strawberry Festival?
Well, you know, one of the ways that we kind of approach it, we are in the process of gathering feedback. We have actually some meetings coming up to kind of get that feedback. But I just want to also just put out there that we were really trying to balance things. We wanted to have things for kids. We wanted to have things for businesses. We wanted to have vendors that were local vendors, again, trying to promote local businesses. We wanted to keep things people loved, like the parades. I mean, we had the antique car on Sunday, and we had the parade. I thought this year on Saturday was just phenomenal. I just thought it was great. I especially liked the fish and the marine life.
Yeah.
By the tail end of it all. But, you know, I thought those were things. And then some of the kids' activities, like the Reptile Man, really amazing. And then the dancing I think all of those things were real positives. So what we really want to do is look at what were positives and build on that, but not to such an extreme that any one thing kind of takes over another. The other key thing that we really want to keep doing, and one of the things we're thinking about for the future, is this concept of you do you. A lot of the music that was done by the individual businesses, because that's what they chose to do to celebrate Strawberry Festival. But, some businesses did very unique things that we, you know, had nothing to do with except for to support them and to say, hey, what a great idea. Let's do that. If that works for you, you do that. Because what the Strawberry Festival is above anything is a community event where we all come together and celebrate it in our own ways. So if somebody wants to do, something for children, gosh, you know, let us know. We'll help. It helps support it. If somebody wants elephant ears, you know what, work with a local restaurant, I'm done. You know, I think that there's this idea that we all need to get involved. One of the biggest challenges we had this year, and I can give you some numbers. In 2019, we had 169 volunteers.
Wow.
Yeah. In 2022, we probably had 30.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Big changes.
Well, you know, one of the things you said that I find really interesting and that I like is that it this year felt like people were, like you just said, people were participating that weren't really attached specifically to the chamber, but they came out and said, hey, we want to do this. And you guys said, yeah, go for it. And I love that idea. I think that's terrific. You know,
yeah. So Mary Perez from Island Insurance, she said, I'm gonna work to get that antique car show and parade done. We're like, great, thank you so much. Sam Wygand from the banking company, she stepped up and coordinated all the vendors. She used to be, but she's passionate about making sure that that type of thing happens. And she partnered with Michelle Johnson to do that. And, you know, we're all in. That's terrific, right? You know, great ideas that people can bring forth and make happen so that it's their own flavor for the festival.
You know, I have an opportunity to talk with the council, the Vashon Maury Island Community Council, soon to be the Vashon Maury Community Council. And their collaboration with Micah's Kitchen and Strawberry Shortcake and the council board members, and making sure that they were able to send that, you know, awareness of the festival through those who participate in the council. So I think just it sounds like kind of the model that you're describing is people stepping forward and getting involved. And I particularly would want to do a shout out to the Thriftway shopping cart drill team. Excited to see that they're back in form. Yeah, Craig, what are your thoughts?
Well, I just wanted to get clear. If individuals do want to volunteer or have ideas, how do they get a hold of you?
They can just email our executive director at vachonchamber.com. We actually have a new executive director who just started about three weeks before festival, Ben Stemmer. And Ben will be happy to get people engaged. We have regular meetings for all of our community events that happen. We have a committee that's responsible for those because we actually have Cider Fest coming up on October 8th. We also have Halloween where we'll close the streets so that businesses can do their Halloween thing and organizations can do their Halloween thing. We also will have Winterfest coming up the first Saturday of December, where we'll do our tree lighting as is custom and maybe sing some carols or do some dancing. Who knows? Depends on the weather, I'm sure. But email Ben Stemmer at executive director at vachonchamber.com. We would love to have volunteers for any of these things because we think it makes for a much richer experience for everybody involved. And really the outcome for the community is, I think, much better too when everybody is kind of pitching in together to make it great.
Great. So provide your feedback, put your brainstorming caps on, come think about the types of things that could make Strawberry Festival epic, and make sure to get in touch with the folks at the chamber and craft your future with the Strawberry Festival. That's fantastic. Cheryl, what else would you like to tell us?
I would just like to say it would be great too if people are willing to roll up their sleeves and help. I mentioned those volunteer numbers, but let me tell you, this is a whole big lift. And at one point our committee was pretty tired and thought, gosh, is this really something that the community is gonna appreciate? Did they recognize all the work that goes into it? That we're all volunteers. We're not paid. We're doing this because we love Vashon and we love our community and we want to do something special. And, you know, this is good for nonprofits. We had a great unofficial mayor contest this year where those nonprofits had an opportunity to make money. And so, you know, really we're looking at something that's holistically good for the whole community. And so please roll up your sleeves and volunteer. Ideas are great. But we also need those strong backs, no pun intended, Truman.
Sorry, I'm out on that one.
We're done. So I just wanted to put my plug in for future help.
Fantastic. Well, Cheryl, you are very welcome to stay on board with us for the next 15 minutes or so while we discuss the events in which we are living and to share your thoughts and ideas about them. But let me just jump into that. So Bruce was planning to host today, and he put together a list of things that are the interesting times we live in. For example, the first substantial environmental legislation since 1985, basically the bill that just passed the Senate, expected to pass in the House and be on the president's desk either this week or early next week. Kansas rebuked the Supreme Court Roe versus Wade decision with an outpouring of newly registered voters to voice their concerns and preferences about women's rights. Election deniers, meanwhile, win governor and secretary of state positions in the primary elections, and they'll go on, of course, in November. The radical right-wing activist court, which wants to return us to pre-Civil War states' rights, where we're a collection of states, is not so much an emphasis on a union of states. Meanwhile, an FBI search warrant was concluded at the Trump residence yesterday, and I think that will probably garner the substantial amount of our conversation, but this is just the backdrop. But Craig, you had a desire to talk about Mar-a-Lago and the Watergate break-in because somebody decided to do some equivalence on that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the I turned over some other radio or television stations in the midst of yesterday to hear how people were responding. And there was quite a bit of discussion about how, and of course the statement by the ex-president, that this was really no different than the Watergate break-in, the so-called, quote, raid, end of quote, on Mar-a-Lago. And it is about 180 degrees off. You'll hear that talking point, I'm sure, a lot. The Watergate break-in was a crime. It was a burglary. It was not authorized by anyone except for the head of the executive division, branch of the government, President Nixon, who got on his helicopter in 1974 today and left the White House. But search that was conducted yesterday at Mar-a-Lago was conducted pursuant to a validly authorized judge-signed search warrant, which requires the FBI to put forth articulable facts of why they believe, and they have to be reliable facts, of why they believe there is evidence of a crime located in a particular place. And then that branch of government authorizes when they feel it's appropriate. And here, because of the incredible scrutiny that the judge and the FBI will be under, had to be a rather substantial showing for the judge to issue that warrant.
A warrant, particularly because of the concern that a subpoena process would not generate the return of the goods that they were looking for, and the fear of destruction of property or maybe sharing that information with others. I was amazed to hear that bit as well.
Yeah, I had to do that on occasion when I was an assistant attorney general. I had to elicit the aid of the police or the state patrol. Because I knew that if I went in there with a subpoena or a civil investigative demand, the likelihood is that I would never see those documents. They would be destroyed. They would be either flushed down the toilet or eaten.
I was thinking flushing down the toilet might be their demise.
Well, I understand that there's evidence that that our ex-president would occasionally eat documents.
I wonder if he ordered special paper for that, maybe with bamboo fiber in it.
Well, went with a Big Mac, you know.
So, German. You guys have always been asking me what my Army buddies think about these things. So I just sent out a little query this morning, and it's very interesting. What I got back was nothing about Trump, but everything about how terrible Biden is. That's what I got back. And when I wrote back to them, I said, you know, I'm not praising Biden here. I'm just saying that there's a crook that's being, you know, being pursued here. And they couldn't get it. And one of my buddies who thinks like I do said that the truest thing Donald Trump ever said was that he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and walk away. And his supporters would look the other way. No, there's no question. He can do that.
The other absolutely true thing he said was in his statement yesterday, where he said, this is unprecedented. This has never been done before. Well, there's a reason why it's never been done before.
Exactly.
Yep. Precedent setting presidency, I would have to say. Hey, I'd like to take us on a slight detour, not to go too far away from Mar-a-Lago. But the other news that broke the other day was a new book in which Trump apparently was talking to his Joint Chiefs of Staff, saying he wished they would be more like Hitler's generals as opposed to his generals, thinking that Hitler's generals were somehow subservient. Truman, how are you planning to address that question with your Army buddies?
Well, that's going to be interesting. I haven't brought that up yet, but it amazes me. I mean, first of all, forget the fact that Trump didn't know anything about history. I mean, that's to be expected. Yeah. But just even saying that he would like his generals to be more like Hitler's generals, Even if that's not true, is beyond the pale. I mean, I am astounded that he would say something like that.
It's the normalization of bizarre positions. So, I mean, to be able to say that with a straight face and actually have people buy into it or not be shocked by it.
Well, in place of our Guardian of the Galaxy historian, Bruce Hallman, who is away on urgent business, I would like to just a section out of The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, which is almost 1,100 pages, which I read over the course of a week out on the boat. But this is Daniel Schreier, I think his name is.
I read it in high school.
As did my wife. I somehow missed that. William Shirer. This paragraph I thought was particularly relevant to today, remembering this is about Adolf Hitler's Third Reich. I myself, Daniel now talking in the first person, I myself was to experience how easily one is taken in by a lying and censored press and radio in a totalitarian state. Though unlike most Germans, I had daily access to foreign newspapers, especially those of London, Paris, and Zurich, which arrived the day after publication. And though I regularly listened to the BBC and other foreign broadcasts, my job necessitated the spending of many hours a day in combing the German press, checking the German radio, and conferring with Nazi officials and going to their party meetings. It was surprising and sometimes consternating to find that notwithstanding the opportunities I had to learn the facts and despite one's inherent distrust of what one learned from Nazi sources, a steady diet over the years of falsifications and distortions made a certain impression on one's mind and often misled it.
There you go. It amazes me that, you know, if you bring something up, what my friends say, oh, it's that left-wing rag, you know, Wikipedia, that's just a left-wing rag, or any CNN, you know, those guys are bleeding heart liberals, every one of them. Anything that's not Donald Trump is not true, you know, which just amazes me. Craig.
Yeah, like they say, it's a lot easier to defraud somebody than to convince them that they've been defrauded.
Exactly.
Yes, good point. Yeah, and I'm always thinking that the human nature is our desire to be right. I mean, that's such a strong, and maybe not in everybody, but I see that in myself, right? And I have to guard against just the treachery of certainty about my opinions, and always needing to realize that it's important to kind of question if we're really on track.
You do.
But when you cast a vote and you align your interest and your support to a person for president, I just think it's really hard to go back and convince people that they may have made a bad choice.
You know, to go along with what you said, Kevin, I've always tried to practice, you know, critical thinking. I tried to look at an event or an incident and say, how are my army buddies going to look at that? How does that, and could I be convinced that that's possible? And many of the things that have happened recently, I just can't. I try and look at it from their point of view, and it's just completely contrary to my whole being. I just don't get it. And I don't understand how they do, you know?
Well, you just become so invested emotionally and whatnot in a particular position. And now that it's become such a us against them, one of the major things that I was hearing yesterday on Fox News was, you know, the liberals are laughing at us. They're laughing at us now. So we can't let them get away with that. I mean, it's got nothing to do with the substance of what's going on. It's like you said, Truman. Yeah, but what about Biden? What about Hillary? What about emails? You know, it's that displacement. Well, what about this event and the facts of this event? No, we don't talk about that. So
yeah, it's astounding.
I also went to the. You know, the white disparagement channel for a while, and the white male victim channel, Fox News, and it is always interesting to compare. One other thing, you know, so the storyline, right, behind this search warrant had to do with the National Archives and the fact that the president took a number of boxes of material from the White House when he departed. And it turns out many, apparently there's a fairly lengthy list of classified content. And in the news reporting, some of the classified content is so classified that the list of classified content has to be classified so as not to divulge national secrets, which could damage our security in the United States. So given that backdrop and the fact that a federal judge did have to approve a search warrant, does it make sense that the National Archives case is really the single motivator for this search? Craig, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, that is the debate right now. I think that if the documents were so secret and so important, it could be the base. But I'm not inclined to think that's all that motivated the search. I think because of the severity and the uniqueness of a search of an ex-president's residence, and the uproar that we will hear from the hard right, that for that judge, and for those the head of the FBI who's a Trump appointee, to engage in the search, my guess is that there's more to this than meets the document eye.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I heard last night was that, yeah, they're looking for some specific things, which they had to point out to the judge to say, this is what we think is there, and this is what we were looking for. But at the same time, they said anything else that they find is usable, you know, in court. Mm-hmm. So they're going there looking for one specific thing. That's how they got the warrant. But at the same time, oh gosh, we happen to find these other things, they're usable. So like you said, Craig, maybe they've got other things in mind besides those specific things that they got on the list.
Well, and some of the reporting I heard today was the types of things that could be contained in classified documents are the nuclear codes for this country,
right,
and other security systems around our national defense. Right. And given the fact that that our former president is in a money-making business and tends to be willing to sell things that have value, I think you kind of got to wonder what is the realm of possibilities of what the Justice Department is concerned about.
Oh, it might have just been a collector's item.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, like that love letter from Kim Jong-un, mm-hmm, or whatever his name is, you know.
Exactly. Well, I do want to say that this line of questioning about the National Archives, I do not mean it in any way, shape, or form to diminish the determination of the librarians at the National Archives to assure that the record is accurately preserved. And if you know librarians like I know librarians, indeed, you know that there's a lot more behind the facade of the shushing librarian model and a more stalwart group of folks in the country, I think you'd be hard pressed to find.
Indeed.
Okay, well, we're down to just a couple of minutes left. I do want to make sure that we mention the upcoming show. First of all, tonight at 9:00, the Progressive Vashon podcast. The election season is here. We are down to less than 90 days before the November elections. And, you know, in a democracy, an election is actually a way to learn a lot about the country in which you live. And maybe you'll learn a lot about where you'd want to move to if you're in a place that doesn't really share your values. But Washington State Indivisible podcast host Stephen Cox, tonight at 9:00 on Voice of Vashon, talks with Washington Secretary of State Steve Hobbs. Steve is our Secretary of State. He manages elections in our state. And of course, he's on the ballot. So I think you want to stay tuned in for that. And next week on the Brown Briefly, our small talk guest is the one and only Indivisible podcast host Stephen Cox will be joining us for Small Talk. In the meantime, for Truman and Craig and I, and thank you, Cheryl, and in absentia, Bruce Hallman, we look forward to seeing you a week from now on the next edition of the Brown Briefly.
Bye-bye, y'all. Thanks.
Bye now.
And thank you, Craig, for stepping up.
Tremendous job engineering.
Ahoy, Vashon.
Problems in a little town, disrupting a parade. Diesel trains and firemen collecting in the shade. The rain's still a long way off, the snakes have got it made. But everyone's got off today, everyone's got off today. One by one, the windows shutting down with frowns. The wind comes up and funny papers rattle through the town. The rain is coming closer, the trees are bending down. But everyone's got off today. Everyone's got off today. Underneath the glass, on the dresser drawer, ticket stubs and photographs, never anymore. And in the puddles on the lawns, a tiny jockey stand. But everyone's got off today. Everyone's got off today. Everyone's got off today. Screens, money, melon, trainers, train your felon painters, money.